Time for that pop culture love fest for the slightly obsessed Pack Rat Planet Radio. And here's your host, Stephen Pitalo.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Pack Rat Planet Radio. How's everybody doing on this fine, although cloudy, weekend? I'm really, really happy to be crawling out from under my pile of vintage underoos. Yes, the underwear that's fun to wear. You're listening to a special Comic-Con edition of Pack Rat Planet Radio, the throwback pop culture love fest for the slightly obsessed. This time we're going to be talking comics, movies, pop culture, and playing some great comic book-oriented tunes as well. We're getting ready for New York Comic Con and its sister event series, New York Super Week, which, by the way, is sponsoring a few great events that we're going to be talking about today. And to start that off, let's talk to my good friend here. With me today is Gabriel Rhodes, the head honcho of BBQ Films, also known as Barbecue Films, a creative collective that builds immersive cinematic experiences in extraordinary locations, folding in custom storyline, costume actors, creative set pieces, live music, and the barbecue secret spice blend to create a movie-going experience like no other. From events that have spotlighted and expanded such films as Back to the Future, Labyrinth, The Fifth Element, Empire Records, the original 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film, and as well as American Psycho, Barbecue Films will present their most ambitious event yet, celebrating the Wesley Snipes film, Blade. It's the Blade Rave on Friday, October 9th at Terminal 5 in New York City. I'm pleased to welcome Barbecue Films mastermind and my friend, Gabriel Rhodes.
How's it going?
It's going great.
Sunday evening. After that lead-in music and that introduction, I'm in the spirit. Happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday to you too as well, Gabriel. I guess let's start right in on it. Barbecue Films is really kind of an amazing pop culture phenomenon. It's been covered by Entertainment Weekly and all kinds of other media lately. I've been to my fair share of Barbecue Films events, but can you talk a little bit about what Barbecue Films sort of does with, say, a film idea or a film to start with?
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, the noise in this last one, which we'll talk about later in the show, has just been really gratifying. And I think part of that is because what we're trying to produce actually just it just hinges on the idea that you would want to step into a moment, your favorite moment in a movie, right? So you see a movie like Weekend at Bernie's, and you see Bernie's house party, and you're like, I think I'd actually love to go to Bernie's house party, or when you're a child and you watch the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie and you say, man, that Foot Clan warehouse with that huge skate ramp and all those video games, and you can do what you want, you can be what you want, that's what I want to step into and that's what I want to live. And if you can bring that alive, you allow people to not only connect with nostalgia but also to connect with stories that really made them who they are right now. And so it's been a really neat ride to be able to go from the rooftop of our place in Spanish Harlem to Terminal 5.
Yeah, what was the very first one in 2007?
So in 2007, the very first one that we did actually was I often remember it as Blues Brothers, but truth be told, to the Pack Rat audience, it was actually Desperado. It was we very much stayed true to this community feel of what we do. And we had this this group of residents of this building, 1695 Lexington, and we all just rotated through to have picks. And the beginning of this was just like a beer, a burger, a movie on a rooftop. Just like, what's the best way to watch a movie in the summer in New York City? And so we all just picked our favorite movies, and Desperado was the first one. Man, that's a fantastic movie. One that I probably will shy away from doing a barbecue films of, because I don't know if I really want to like sit in the middle of a gunfight. But like, just visually, it's beautiful, and one of Robert Rodriguez's just best signature movies.
So. Yeah, I think that's probably the first one that Robert Rodriguez got some money to put behind because exactly. It seems like after El Mariachi and then Road Racers, his mm-hmm. Showtime mm-hmm. Movie, he actually got to do something with an actual larger budget. And I think when he did Road Racers, he actually kind of learned how to make a movie within the studio system. That mm-hmm. They put out another book after Rebel Without a Crew that was just basically one of those paperbacks about how a film is made. I think it was just called Road Racers. And it was really interesting how he was able to get that film made despite a lot of interference from Showtime. They had wanted to make an anthology series, and they asked him to be one of them. And by the time it was over with, his was the linchpin film because it was the only one that was actually true to the idea.
Right.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about Barbecue Films, but staying within the theme of our Comic-Con and comic book theme here. We're going to play I would have to say is my favorite interpretation of a theme. This is the Ramones with Spider-Man. The Ramones, the Mighty Ramones with Spider-Man. Gabe, just want to ask, what are some of your, say, comic book memories growing up?
So one of my best comic book memories was, and I wasn't one of those like rabid collectors, although there's a couple of series that I absolutely loved. And when I was, God, maybe, I had a bunch of older cousins, right? Older cousins. When I was about, third grade maybe, some of my older cousins were sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, and they had outgrown a series of comics that they absolutely loved. And they just gave me this stack of ratty old comics. And I just remember going through those again and again and again and again, and there was a whole storyline from one of the like distant far world Star Wars series. It was like an offshoot of an offshoot that involved these like bizarre water breathing. I don't even know the story. I could recite exactly everything that happened in that comic, but I have no idea how connected with anything else. And then Conan, man, I love the Conan comics.
Yeah.
Like the old school ones. I mean, these are like late 70s, maybe early 80s comics they bought when they were really young kids, and then I just got them as a hand-me-down, and I absolutely loved them. And I just remember so some comic book movies are sort of true to that spirit, and some aren't. I remember seeing the most recent Conan, and I was a little bit nonplussed because it just didn't have that sort of like that same energy for me when I was a kid. But some of those comics are just like so instrumental. I also have to say, and the sort of like less like fantastic and wonder world. Well, you're hearing my little daughter right
That's
now.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So speaking of the next generation, I got a little vampire of my own right here. But I have to say that Asterisk, the comics Asterisk.
Oh man, I remember that. Yeah.
And also the comic books for Tintin, which are very 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 widely read. We're also just like part of that was like part of the adventure of childhood for me. I just really loved reading those, and I actually owned every single one of both of those comics.
Wow.
And actually owned some of them in different languages too. And I would go back and forth and kind of like look at them side by side and see how they were actually making jokes differently. It was a big part of growing up. Absolutely.
When I was young, I went through a big Batman phase, and it was interesting. We had copies of Batman Family and Batman Family Annual and Brave and the Bold.
Because right.
I had this tattered copy of Brave and the Bold. It was Batman and the Metal Men.
Oh, great.
And there was just something that seemed a little bit more grown up about some of these titles and some of these themes that were going on. So, Batman. And of course, Spider-Man. I've always found it interesting that people make such a big deal about Marvel versus DC.
Hmm.
And with DC existing in a universe that people think is not real, only because Marvel exists in, you know, Spider-Man is in New York City. It's
right.
sort of like I don't know if that makes it more grounded. It just, you know, I think Spider-Man's just a smart ass, and Superman is not.
I've always interpreted that as just sort of like everybody needs a rival, right? Like Haynes versus Fruit of the Loom. Who cares, right? But like, obviously there's a death battle going on out there that none of us really know about in the marketplace, right?
Well, I'll tell you, I can't get enough of this new Flash TV series on the CW. It's so good, and then bring it back. The dad from the original Flash series and from the 90s, stroke of genius, as well as Amanda Pays, you know. But we can go on and on and on with that. I wanted to...
In fact, people will all weekend.
Yes, exactly. They sure will. Okay, getting back to some superhero stuff. Here's one of my personal favorite crossovers. From my favorite R.E.M. album, Life's First Pageant, here is R.E.M. with Superman.
Oh, fantastic.
Track it down, girl. Trust me when
Yes, I am Superman. That's R.E.M. from the Life's Rich Pageant album. You know, Gabe, I wanted to ask a little bit more about Barbecue Films. What's been, you guys have done so many films, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, American Psycho, Empire Records, which I think was a pretty amazing event. What's been the most surreal sort of moment so far in this? Something that maybe, you know, you were like, wow, this is getting into a realm I did not think we would go to.
Well, it's funny. With each event, you have one of these surreal moments. And it actually comes from really, really, like, learning and living a movie. Okay. And so, you know, with Back to the Future, like, I think one of the best and most beautiful moments was when two of my friends actually got engaged after it, because it was just such a, they were just so caught up in the moment.
Oh, for the,
and actually just, I just had a chance to go to their wedding.
The Enchantment Under the Sea
the
Dance.
Enchantment Under the Sea Dance.
Did
you
its
know,
job.
They kissed and they fell in love. And right, and like, actually another beautiful, beautiful moment from the Enchantment Under the Sea Dance was this moment where we had ended up reaching out to a NASA engineer actually to build us something. We said he actually manufactured these DeLoreans down in Florida, and he called us up and he said, "Well, I have a 98% accurate flux capacitor. I can't sell it, so I'm just going to send it to you."
Wait, okay? Wait, how is it?
And I'm like, "How? Well, is, I mean, 98% accurate.
Yeah,
can it just like not work? Does it actually not send you through time? You know?" And that was just this really a surreal moment. But like, you just have these like bizarre moments where like life becomes art and art becomes life. You know,
right.
Where you find yourself talking to the impresario of the New York City vampire scene, right?
Whoa.
And like, and you think, okay, well, actually, we've stepped onto another side. We stepped into another world in a beautiful way,
right?
And that's something that really, it always strikes me as different. It's just so different for each movie, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's actually, and you were at the party under the moon tower for Dazed and Confused,
right.
I believe, and so you know, maybe it's the fact that you actually found yourself throwing a car rally and you weren't really expecting to do that. You
True.
Know? Those are these moments here. So forgive me for my little baby here.
No, not at all.
She goes with me everywhere here, and today she's communicating to your audience.
Well, the other one that I really enjoyed was Zoolander.
Oh boy,
Zoolander was a lot of fun, and I think that the whole model dance off thing was pretty amazing.
Yeah,
and you had Buffy from America's Next Top Model.
Absolutely, yeah. Season 10. They did a lot of seasons of that.
Yeah. That was a really great one to do. That was a lot of fun. And this one at Terminal 5. Wow, that's a pretty intimidating venue. I would think. I mean, it for any performer or any type of event. Have you ever had something as large as Terminal 5? I mean, maybe
no.
You have.
I mean, this. Well, the interesting thing about this, no single event this large, right? And so I think that the you know, that walk-off that you just mentioned is like this being able to have the opportunity for a moment of surprise, right?
Right.
So like stopping the movie and having a fight break out between two male models, and then having a full reveal to another warehouse where there's a full walk-off and it's a judged contest by a famous person, like that type of thing actually just, it sticks in people's minds. It makes them, transcends the movie, it brings them into it. And so these intermissions are things that we've become known for over time, which is really quite wonderful. And so with Terminal 5, I have to tell you, it's something that I'll tell you about in just a second.
It's okay. We're gonna go to a song. Appropriately enough, this is the theme from Flash. Oh boy, that was Queen with the theme from Flash Gordon.
Such a fantastic song.
Oh yes, one of the greats. We were talking a little bit earlier about barbecue films just in general and some of the great moments that we've been able to have. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about what happens the next night, which is Music Video Time Machine, Comic Chameleon Edition. We're going to have classic, iconic, and rare music videos all night long at Latitude. 783 8th Avenue in New York City. This is an official after party of New York Super Week. So gather your stuff up after Comic-Con and just walk up a little ways from the Javits Center. We're going to have all the classic music videos that you know and love, plus comic book and cartoon madness, arcade and gaming system videos, freaky action figure videos, and videos that involve werewolves, bizarre animation, vampires, outer space, mythology, fantasy, costumes, wrestling, Weird Al, Minecraft, David Hasselhoff, Shatner, all the other pop culture.
It keeps on going.
We're throwing it all into the Cuisinart. I'm going to come out with some fun stuff. In addition, drink specials, giveaways, and plenty of room to dance. And let's not forget an appearance by that social media sensation, Aha Guy. Yes, a giant cutout of Morton. The lead singer of Aha will be making an appearance. The cutout has gotten sort of a life of its own now on the internet. So Aha Guy will be showing up. Hopefully we will see you there too. You can go to New York Super Week on the web and get your $5 ticket. This event will no doubt sell out, and I believe there's not a lot of tickets left. So please go to New York Super Week on the interwebs and check it out. You can get a ticket right now. Tell you what, let's play one more. Actually, I have a collection of just a few of these great comic book themes from the 1960s cartoon versions of these. Let me toss a few of them at you. You might remember. I'm going to do Captain America, Thor, and Iron Man. So check it out.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield are killed. Then he's led to a fight, and the duel is due, and the red and the white and the blue come through. When Captain America throws his mighty shield, across the rainbow bridge of the stars, where the booming heavens roar, you'll behold it.
Makes you feel he's a cool exec with a heart of steel.
And Iron Man, all just a place. He fights and fights with his own.
yes. Some of my favorite cartoon themes from the 1960s. Actually, when I was young, they used to rerun those cartoons on some of the New Orleans television stations in the afternoon. So we all got to know all those cartoons all over again. Same silly sort of Film Waves, I think, was the company animation, although I'm sure I will be corrected by the Comic-Con community for getting that wrong because they love to correct you. Anyway, we're going to play a little game that we usually play here on Pack Rat Planet Radio. It's called Rule of Threes. Here we go with Rule of Threes. As you know from previous shows, we have a pop culture entity, and you will have to guess the iteration of that. It's a little easier to play once you know what we're doing. This go-round for Rule of Threes, we have Wesley. That is the name of our entity, Wesley. That's in honor of Blade in the Blade rave. So one of our three Wesleys is Wesley Snipes, star of Blade. Our other Wesleys are Brad Wesley, the bad guy character in the Patrick Swayze film Roadhouse, and Wesley Owens, the youngest child on the TV series Mr. Belvedere. That's right. Wesley Snipes, Brad Wesley, and little Wesley Owens. The way this will work, Gabe, is that I will give you a quote. You have to tell me which of the three Wesleys said this. Are you ready? Now, of course, I wanted to use Blade's and you'll pardon my French. Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill. Yeah. So I couldn't go with that one because I knew you'd get that one. But,
oh, my God.
So here's the first quote, and I want you to tell me if it's Wesley Snipes, Brad Wesley, or Wesley Owens. I believe we all have a purpose on this earth, a destiny. I have a faith in that destiny, and it tells me to gather unto me what is mine.
Oh, my God. This is fantastic. Okay, I think that must be the third Wesley.
The Mr. Belvedere Wesley? No, it's not. No,
all right, give me Brad Wesley.
Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah, it's actually Brad Wesley, yes, played by the great Ben Gazzara. In Roadhouse, in a
absolutely no, that's a Roadhouse quote.
Yes, okay,
so fantastic. That's Roadhouse, but that's it's not. Roadhouse. It's like it feels so much like Wesley Snipes
yes.
to actually say it. And
yes,
so it's
exactly.
Like,
okay, well, we tell you what, this is what we'll do now. I will now give you I'll give you another quote here, and I want you to tell me what. Which one it is of the two that we have left, if it's Wesley Snipes or Wesley Owens. Okay, right. Are you ready?
Go for it.
You can put a cat in an oven, but that don't make it a biscuit. You could put a cat in an oven, but that don't make it a biscuit.
That can't be Wesley Snipes.
Yes, it is Wesley Snipes.
Jesus,
and White Man Can't Jump.
That's brilliant. That is brilliant.
Yes. Wesley Snipes and White Man Can't Jump. One of the various wonderful Wesley Snipes quotes
That's
there are.
Brilliant.
There's actually whole articles about Wesley Snipes quotes within films. There's like lists and lists of them.
Well,
my personal favorite.
He ad-libs a number of them.
Yeah. My personal favorite from New Jack City is now I'm blanking. No, it's Money Talks and Bullshit Runs the Marathon.
It's so good.
And then, but some of the ones in Blade are pretty amazing. And you know what? Here we go. Back to Blade. For the rave, I understand you had a Blood Rain rehearsal?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you asked.
To test it?
You asked a little bit about this event, and it is indeed our biggest single event. It's to bring a single night. You know, we've sold 1,000 tickets to a show before, but like bringing 1,500 people into a venue like that, we're trying to keep it so it's actually can still be immersive, right? Because I mean, you can pack Terminal 5 if you have a large scale concert, like a GWAR actually plays Terminal 5, which is partially where we asked for advice for our Blood Rain, but like,
but you would
to try to create Terminal 5
yeah.
into that iconic vampire nightclub, into Deacon Frost's iconic vampire nightclub, it takes a couple of tweaks. But if you walk into this space, Terminal 5 already looks like the scene from the movie. And so part of how we actually design these events is when we walk into a space, we have these movies in our head, and when we find a place that's perfect for it, we just need to be able to do it there, right? And so it's like, so Terminal 5, just when we found it and we started talking with them, we'd actually already developed a relationship with Bowery Presents through our Rex Manning day. It just made so much sense. Now, with the actual Blood Rain itself, we did do what we call a blood test just to see how it works. We, you know, experimented with a number of different non-blood substances, right? And so, you know, obviously...
I'm glad you're specific with that. Thank you.
Well, it's actually, there's a reason to be specific, because one of the things that's been so neat to see with our events is a number of them have actually been copied. And with this one, we announced it back in June in alignment with New York Super Week. And we noticed that there's actually... A Blade Rave that is now happening in Amsterdam, and a Blade Rave that is happening in London, which is pretty exciting.
Whoa.
And so it's kind of neat to see some of this creativity really sort of grow and expand. But the Amsterdam Blood Rave got a little bit of attention from the fact that they suggested they were going to use real blood, which is something that we never considered doing, because... I mean, number one, it's a health code violation. It just kind of sounds disgusting, but like, it's also something that Barbecue really tries is to make movies are extremely accessible. You can just sit on your couch at night and watch a movie. And so we're trying to make our events, be they in terms of like indie music, or be they 1950s dance, or be they a event that's focused on horror,
now,
make it accessible.
I'm sorry. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that it would be possible to do it with actual blood.
I mean, it's a publicity stunt.
That's got to be against the law.
I mean, I'm not sure about those about regulations outside of the United States. I think here it would definitely be.
I don't want to know
against public taste.
I don't want to know where you would get it. I don't want to. I don't even want to know the people that you would cut a deal with for something
exactly,
like that.
Exactly. Like, what back alley is that?
Oh,
what back alley is that? But it turns out we had a neat. One of the things we've really tried to do with each one of our events is make it just entirely accessible to anybody that wants to come and experience this. And part of that for us is making sure that there's a zone where people can actually experience that scene from the movie, and making sure there's a zone where people can just witness it and avoid it. And so we're building what we call a splatter zone, and we're using this substance that's actually been developed over many years by a blood donor, which I can't name, a fake blood donor I can't name. And they're experts in dousing people in colors, and they actually had developed this for another event and weren't able to use it, and so they were able to share it with us. And after testing some of the fake blood that you get at, say, like the Halloween stores, or kind of crazy ideas like grenadine or something like
right,
that, you know,
right.
It's like all of that stuff either stains or it's sticky or it smells, but this stuff is odorless, non-toxic. I've had it in my eyes, in my mouth. There's no problem. It's sort of a paint, but it's water soluble and it washes right off and it doesn't stain your skin. It comes off very easily. It's actually sort of a bit of a miracle substance if you want to, say, do something as crazy as coat people in a color.
And so, I imagine Terminal 5 was very interested in how this was going to work as well.
Absolutely. Well, one of the fun things about Terminal 5 is when we went in to talk about this, we actually subsequently met and invited Guar to one of our shows, to the Empire Records show.
That's right.
But they actually, one of the things that they actually said was, well, you know, Guar was just here a couple of weeks ago and they sprayed, you know, weird fluids on everybody. And so it's been done, and just a guy to do it very, very carefully,
wow.
Right? And so it's something they've been really supportive of for a very long time. It's really great. So
note to all party promoters out there, if your event involves blood, talk to the Terminal 5 people, because they have some experience in that area. Good grief. All right. Well
fake blood. Fake blood.
Fake blood. Exactly. Exactly. Let's get back into the comic book mode. As we all know, one of Prince's lesser favorite albums of people is the Batman soundtrack. But I personally think it's got some great moments, including one of my favorite songs by Prince. This is from the Batman soundtrack. This is Party Man.
baby. What you smoking?
Bologna.
Well, here, let me light it.
There you go. Prince with Party Man. It's one of my favorite tracks, and from the Batman soundtrack. I was actually thinking it might be a good time to maybe do our trivia question this go around. We always try to do at least one really hard trivia question. So let's get to that.
Really hard trivia questions. They're hard.
That's right. They're hard. And this is the trivia question this go around. It's a very simple one. But
not hard.
It's very hard, but it's very simple. What actor received the Academy Award 43 years after he played a Batman villain on television? What actor received the Academy Award 43 years after he played a Batman villain on television? Now, if you know the answer, tweet with the hashtag PackRatPlanet, hashtag PackRatPlanet. And if you do that and you send that to us, you'll get 2 free tickets to Music Video Time Machine Comic Chameleon Edition, as well as 2 copies of the Phonogram Immaterial Girl comic book, courtesy of the good folks at Phonogram. Once again, it's 2 copies, the first 2 issues. It's a great series. It's very music video oriented, as well as 2 free tickets to Music Video Time Machine Comic Chameleon Edition. So tweet up. Tweet to hashtag PackRatPlanet, and let's see if anybody knows the answer to this question. I'll say it one more time. What actor received the Academy Award 43 years after he played a Batman villain on television? Sweet. All right. Keeping in the vein of what we've been talking about today, let's go to I don't know if many people know about this. Mostly Beatles and McCartney fans know about this, but Wings, Paul McCartney's post-Beatles band, actually wrote and recorded a song that has a lot of comic book references within it. It's got to do with Magneto and Titanium Men.
Couldn't be bad. Magneto was mad. Titanium too.
You're listening to Pack Rat Planet Radio on Radio Free Brooklyn. Once again, we're at radiofreebrooklyn.com. And Liam McInerney will be back next week to do his wonderful show at 5 p.m. on Sunday. But this is the first Sunday of the month, so you're listening to Pack Rat Planet Radio. I'm here with the fantastic Gabriel Rhodes of Barbecue Films. They put on these incredible events, and they have the Blade Rave coming up Friday, October the 9th. You can go to New York Super Week and buy your tickets there, or you can get more information at the Barbecue Films site, barbecuefilms.bbqfilms.com. I guess the last bit that I wanted to ask you about the whole Barbecue Films thing was, is there a moment at one of these that somebody came up to you and said, like, you made my dreams come true? Because I imagine that conversation once in a while, somebody will just come up and, like, their whole life is that particular movie, you know? Has that happened?
It's interesting. I think, actually, it happens in almost every film. I'm getting emails right now, actually, on a regular basis that are about people just, like, growing up with, loving and living in this idea of what a vampire nightclub would actually feel like, actually sound like.
Okay.
And the idea that Crystal Method would actually headline
that's insane.
That vampire nightclub.
Yeah.
And people reach out and they're like, you know, this is really amazing. Or like people that absolutely love the movie Back to the Future, you know, especially after tickets sell out, I'll get all these impassioned pleas from people. Rex Manning Day, you know, living inside the record store at Empire Records, that was just a real dream come true for a number of people. And the most beautiful thing is, like, when you can actually, like, help some of the original talent reenact it too.
Ethan Embry, that was insane.
Coming out of that big worm that Gwar brought on stage.
Yeah.
Like, we actually, he gave me this huge hug right after that evening, because it was just something that was a reconnection of a childhood moment for him even.
Right.
But I have to say one of the most amazing moments was the very first one that we did, where we actually had some subway musicians, some doo-wop subway musicians, come and sing over one of their over a movie about them, actually a documentary about them, and in the last scene they're singing on screen, and we actually invited them into the audience, and they stood up and they sang, harmonized with themselves on screen, and then did a performance for the audience. And afterwards, I always get shivers when I remember this moment, but somebody came up and said, I think I fell in love with New York again tonight.
Oh.
And like that moment where you can kind of connect a story with somebody's experience in a really profound way, that's the dream come true.
Wow. That's fantastic. Well, we're going to sort of wrap things up here. I want to thank Gabriel Rhodes of Barbecue Films a whole lot for coming out on wonderful, blustery, strange weather day. I guess, are we post-hurricane yet or mid-hurricane?
We missed the bullet.
Okay.
I
guess so. I'm like, please, can this all this be over with? The shifting of seasons is screwing up my system badly enough without us having an actual tropical depression to put me in a depression. But once again, Gabriel Rhodes of Barbecue Films, please don't miss the Blade Rave at Terminal 5 on Friday, October the 9th. You can get tickets at New York Super Week and at barbecuefilms.com. Also, Saturday night, October the 10th at Latitude, you can see me. Music Video Time Machine, Comic Chameleon Edition. We'll be doing all kinds of fun Comic Con oriented music videos and throwback music videos, doing it left, right, and center. Once again, I am Stephen Pitalo. Thank you very much for coming to Pack Rat Planet Radio on Radio Free Brooklyn. Thank you. Good night. And in the words of L7, be good to yourselves.